This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I believe Donald Trump. I think that the American people could see through this. And at the end of the day, on the flip side, here you have Hillary Clinton. She has her own email scandal.
Donald Trump's Florida campaign co-chair Joe Gruter says he thinks it will be a Trump victory here in the Sunshine State.
The investigation is the biggest political scandal since Watergate. And it's everybody's hope that justice at last can be delivered.
The American people deserve to get the full and complete facts immediately. The director himself has said he doesn't know whether the emails referenced in his letter are significant or not.
That's Trump and Clinton on the latest October surprise delivered by the FBI. We'll talk about that. Plus, November 8th is bittersweet for many, including Florida's House Speaker Steve Crisafulli.
I'll be terming out in just a few short days.
Crisafulli looks back on the highlights of his term, including the passage of a comprehensive water bill.
Nobody got 100% of what they wanted, and compromise is part of passing effective legislation in Tallahassee.
All that and more coming up on episode 82 of The Rotunda. Welcome to The Rotunda. Well, email gate will continue to dominate the news this week. Federal investigators looking into the Hillary Clinton email matter have obtained the warrant needed to start reviewing the emails found on a laptop used by Clinton aide Yuma Abedin and her husband, Anthony Weiner. This guy is always in the news, and he's back. Of course, Donald Trump is taking full advantage of the FBI director James Comey's vagueness as certainty and absolutes.
The FBI would never have reopened this case at this time unless it were a most egregious criminal offense.
Meanwhile, Clinton is calling for transparency.
It's imperative that the Bureau explain this issue in question, whatever it is, without any delay. So I look forward to moving forward to focus on the important challenges facing the American people, winning on November 8th, and working with all Americans to build a better future for our country.
This story will continue to develop throughout the week, but one thing is for sure, polls are showing Donald Trump gaining back some of his losses here in Florida. I bumped into someone that was supposed to be a guest on this program way before the primary. Luckily, I caught up with him in a hotel lobby in downtown Tallahassee. Joe Gruters is the co-chairman of Donald Trump's Florida campaign. He's also a member of Florida State University's Board of Trustees, and he's running for the Florida House. We had a lot to catch up on him, so without further ado.
So, Joe Gruters, welcome to the Rotunda. It's been a long time trying to get you on this program.
Yeah, so it's exciting to finally get here. It's a obviously not always easy in a campaign cycle, but I'm glad to be here today.
So you were involved in a lot of stuff. I'm trying to remember all the things that I was trying to interview for. One, them being leading the Trump campaign here in Florida. So where do we stand with regards to Trump, and what do you make of what's happening here in Florida as far as like polling? I see he's getting a little edging.
We're definitely going to win here in Florida. I think that the latest polls that just came out had us up by 2 points. What you're seeing around the state as he continues to push these rallies from one corner to the state to the other, the response that he's getting, overwhelmingly positive, you know, record crowds everywhere he's going. I think he made 6 stops in Florida last week. I think he's making 3 more this week. It's going to be really exciting to see how Florida turns out, but my guess and my money is that Donald Trump will win Florida and he'll become our next president.
Why are you supporting Donald Trump? And I ask this question because there's a difference within the Republican Party. There's a split because of Donald Trump. So what made you decide to, like, this is the guy I'm going to stand behind?
I always have been a big believer in looking at people outside the world of politics, that leading and supporting for office and leading different things, because I think they bring a unique perspective. And Donald Trump, I truly believe he's going to change the culture of D.C. I think he'll drain the dump that's in D.C. that exists, the culture of corruption. And I think we need to get fresh blood in there and new ideas. And at the end of the day, I feel that America, where we stand right now, we need somebody who's going to put our interests first in terms of American jobs, American prosperity, the working middle class, and I think Donald Trump is going to do that. And he's saying stuff that no other candidate's willing to say. And here's a guy that could back it up because he's created tens of thousands of jobs, invested hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, into the economy with all these projects all over the world. He's a success, and I think he'll bring that same level of success that he's had throughout his business career into D.C. I think he'll change the system, and all of us will be much better off.
What we have seen, though, outside of the outward success, knowing the Trump brand, you present a good image regardless of what's happening in the background. And we saw through this coverage and this decision to run for office that things aren't as glitzy as we thought behind the scenes. And even down to the character and the way he's been campaigning, how do you separate those issues, or are you fully in agreement with what the things he's done and said?
I'm proud to stand with Donald Trump. It's a, in campaigns, listen, if you're a businessman or woman for 30 years, you're going to have differences with people. There's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be people that don't agree with you. And I think all these controversies that have come up recently, listen, he's been in business for 30 years. And he's had none of these allegations. Now, all of a sudden, we're 30 days away from an election. You have all these people who he is disputing 100%, by the way, coming out and making these allegations. I think they're totally false. I believe Donald Trump. I think that the American people could see through this. And at the end of the day, on the flip side, here you have Hillary Clinton. She has her own email scandal with these WikiLeaks, the open government, open borders, open government, hemispheric type change. The thing is, these are their own words, and people are trying to blame somebody else. But in reality, you have fabricated stories to try to disrupt the campaign of Donald Trump versus the other side, where you actually have their own words and people are trying to say it's not a big deal because somebody brought it out and it shouldn't have ever come out into the public eye. I think Donald Trump has apologized for some of his misdeeds, and I think that what people care about, what voters care about, is two things. They want to make sure they have a job and they can provide, be good providers for their family. And number two, they want to be safe. They want to be safe in their communities. They want America to be strong and be safe in the world. And I think that when you look at those two issues, Donald Trump overwhelmingly trumps Hillary Clinton with the voters and his policies and everything else. So I think that's why he's going to end up taking Florida and he'll become our next president.
All the controversy, most of the controversy, however, are from his own words, his own actions, things that he has said. So if you believe him, why do you pick and choose what you believe that comes out of his mouth?
Listen, I believe what he said. I believe he has made mistakes. Some of his mistakes that he says he admitted to, he owned them, and he moved on. And it's and what people care about is jobs and security. People don't care about these worthwhile, these issues that are in allegations that are being made at the last minute to try to steer an election in the opposite way. I think the media has been biased, and I think they've spent way too much time on these issues and not enough time looking at Hillary Clinton's record and what she's done.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramel Gomes. You're listening to my discussion with Donald Trump's Florida campaign co-chairman, Joe Gruters.
So what about you? You running for office? We're
things
with you. How's that going?
My campaign's going well. I'm a candidate for the state house down in Sarasota, Manatee. My election could have went either way in the primary. I ran against a Tea Party leader who painted me as a, if you could believe it, as Donald Trump's Florida chairman. My opponent was able to paint me as a moderate Republican out of touch with a conservative base. And I barely was able to squeak by in a primary by about 384 votes at a 20-something thousand cast. Very fortunate to be my party's nominee. And the good news for me is my general, it's an overwhelmingly Republican district. So I would say that I'm the heavy favorite to win. I'm running against a guy, James Golden. He's a nice guy, very competent. He's a reverend. He's an attorney. Has a lot of good issues that he's campaigning on, except for it's like a Democrat running in you know, maybe Palm Beach or somewhere. Sometimes you're fortunate with the numbers, and in my district, it's a plus 22 seat, and I think we're up in polling by 22 points right now to match the district registration. It's kind of interesting, but I'm expecting a win, but you can never take anything for granted. So we're campaigning hard. We're going to campaign hard all the way through the election.
All right, you're also on the, I believe, Board of Trustees of Florida State University.
That's why I'm here right now in Tallahassee. You know, trying to, one of my passions is higher education and being able to serve my alma mater, Florida State, in a way that on this board in particular has been giving me tremendous pride. It's a humbling experience because you're able to do so much. You're one of 11. You're in a 5-year term. I was appointed by Governor Rick Scott, and this is my second term on the board. But it's been just an incredible experience, and looking forward to even bigger things.
How do you balance, like, your other roles with that role, where you're part of overseeing an institution where you have to represent students from all walks of life, and then you're also leading a candidate that...
Well, here's the deal. I'm definitely able to separate my different duties. I've had lots of people call for my resignation from Florida State. I've had people call for my resignation from my position as vice chairman of the Republican Party of Florida, as chairman of the Republican Party of Sarasota. But my thing is, I've done a pretty good job of time management, keeping things separate. You know, my job at Florida State is to oversee, is to be one of the 11 Board of Trustee members that oversees the program. But, you know, my goal is to advance all people. It's not I'm not only there to help one side or the other. I'm there to build bridges. I'm there to, you know, Florida State's over the last couple of years have done an amazing job under John Thrasher's leadership. I think we're ranked 38th best public university in the country.
He's in line for a raise?
We gave him a raise today. Oh. We gave him, I think, a 10% raise, and then I think we gave him a $100,000 bonus. And we did some other things with his contract to where he's going to be rewarded properly for the work that he's done. He's exceeded all expectations that we put down for him, and Florida State's in a much better position today than we were prior to his arrival. And John Thrasher has just done an absolutely amazing job.
Is this just a rivalry to catch up to UF? Because Fox, his salary's already up there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and even with raising Thrasher's salary to where we put it, he's still in, my guess is he's not even in the top quartile of the Florida universities. So even though we're one of the two preeminent universities, John Thrasher doesn't ask for any bonuses or raises or anything. What we're trying to do as a board, I think, is to try to recognize his good deeds and his good work and just try to bring him somewhat in line with the rest of the universities. We got him at a steal when we first hired him. And like I said, he's never asked for anything. He's a great representative of Florida State. We've gone far with his leadership, and I'm looking forward to having President Thrasher there for as long as he's willing to serve.
All right. Well, it's good to run into you. Finally, have you on the program. I really appreciate your
perfect
time.
Perfect timing. Yeah.
Good seeing you.
Thank you.
That's Joe Gruter's candidate for the Florida House and Donald Trump's campaign co-chair for Florida. This is The Rotunda, a podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Fill out our listener survey on rotundapodcast.com and let us know what you think about this program. And as always, thanks for your support. Florida's House Speaker Steve Crisafulli is about to wrap up his term in the Florida legislature. On November 8th, he will no longer be in charge of the Florida House, bringing to an end a total of 8 years serving in that chamber, working his way up to the top.
And then I get to go back into the private life and see my family again and, you know, maybe get back involved in the family business for a little while and, you know, look and see what options are there in the future. I mean, obviously, you never say never to anything that's on the horizon, and I think it's important for me right now, though, to go home and spend time with the family and get to enjoy them for a little while during the holidays, and we'll be making some future decisions when the appropriate time comes.
4 years ago, he called attention to water as one of the most pressing issues facing Florida. From algal bloom and brown tide plaguing water bodies across the state, he said he grew concerned about how projected growth of Florida over the next several decades would put an even greater strain on the supply of water. He turned those concerns into action with the eventual passage of a comprehensive water policy bill. Joining us to talk about it in what is likely to be his last in-depth interview as Speaker of the House, Steve Crisafulli. He's joining us by phone along with Rich Budell with the Florida Agribusiness Council. So, Speaker Crisafulli, you made tackling water issues one of your main priorities. Can you talk about what you were able to accomplish?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for talking to us about this, Charles. It's certainly an issue that's very important to our state, but certainly not a sexy issue to talk about. But it's something that's been an issue that's been important to me for some time, having a family that's been in agriculture and understanding the importance of this natural resource to our state. And it was something that I wanted to work on when I had the opportunity to become speaker. And obviously, it's not something, like all things in the legislature, that you ever do by yourself. And there was a lot of people that were able to come to the table and be a part of this conversation. One of those individuals is on the phone with us today, and that's Rich Budell, who worked at the time with Commissioner Putnam and the Department of Ag and Consumer Services. Obviously, Commissioner Putnam was a big part of this, as well as our Senate partners. And in the House, I had Matt Caldwell, who chaired my State Affairs Committee, actually run this piece of legislation and work with many of the entities that were interested in this issue, those from the environmental community, as well as the development community and the agricultural community. So it was an issue that was near and dear to me, and it took everybody with all hands on deck to get the job done. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a gentleman by the name of Tom Hamby, who works in my speaker's office, and he was a big part of working on this bill for the 2 years that we put into it.
And Rich Budell, glad to have you back on the program. So prior to heading up the Agribusiness Council, you also did a lot of work on this bill to help it become law. Could you help us understand more about what this bill does for the state?
Well, it's a very comprehensive piece of legislation, and it did take 2 years, and you could, I guess, boil it down to four major areas. One of them is a strong piece of legislation moving forward our efforts collectively statewide to protect our springs. There's another component that deals with the future water supply planning for the fastest growing part of the state, and it's called the Central Florida Water Initiative. A number of modifications to the Northern Everglades and estuaries protection programs. And then there was a number of changes that were made to the portion of statute that I think is perhaps the most fundamentally important part of this piece of legislation, was the desire for the legislature to make sure there's sufficient water to meet all current and future reasonable beneficial uses in the natural system and to avoid the adverse effects of competition for water supplies.
Thank you for that. Speaker Crisafulli, one of the areas where there appeared to be broad agreement on the water bill was over protections for springs. Can you talk about what these protections mean?
And that's a great question, and that was part of working with the Senate and recognizing the importance of that issue to Senator Charlie Dean, who ran the bill over on the Senate side, and also Senator Simmons, who was engaged in that conversation. And, really it expedites protection and restoration of the water flow and water quality in the aquifer. And of our 33 Florida historic first magnitude springs, that's a major issue for our state. And that was something that was very important to those senators that I mentioned. And it allowed this comprehensive bill to be even more comprehensive. And Rich is somebody who led the effort on that, as well as Tom Hamby, to make sure that what we were doing there was looking to the future.
To those not up to speed on Florida's water issues, it may seem like an entirely different language when trying to understand the state's water policies. Rich Budell, I looked up the acronym BMAP, which means Basin Management Action Plan. Could you explain what this means and why it's important?
So one of the things that the Clean Water Act requires, and Florida has embraced this wholeheartedly, is an assessment of the quality of our surface waters. And DEP does that on a regular basis. They're always evaluating the quality of our surface water bodies. And if they find that they're not meeting their intended use, then they establish what's called a total maximum daily load. That's a number. That's a restoration goal for a particular water body. And the Basin Management Action Plan is really the blueprints for how all of the stakeholders within a watershed, whether they're urban or industrial or agricultural, all of the things that they will do to help meet that restoration goal established in the total maximum daily load. So it's really just a blueprint, a plan for how we will achieve our water restoration targets.
Some environmental critics have said that the water bill did not go far enough to ensure the reduction of pollution and cleaning up of our waterways. Speaker Crisafulli, what do you say to these critics?
First and foremost, many of those same critics were sitting at the table when this bill was put together, and the reason that this bill took the time that it took to put together was because we were trying to be as inclusive as we could with anybody and everybody that had an interest in discussing this issue. You know, I can also say that nobody got 100% of what they wanted, and compromise is part of passing effective legislation in Tallahassee. And I would say it's unfortunate that they feel that way, but this is a work in progress, and we continue to monitor and, you know, use a science-based approach to working on this issue. And you know, this collectively with the resources financially that we put forward with regard to Legacy Florida Bill, which is a bill that put $200 million into the Everglades, $50 million into Springs, and $5 million into Lake Apopka, certainly is not something that we should just sneeze at. I mean, this is a major piece of legislation as well as, you know, financial commitment with the resources to follow it that will make a big difference in water policy moving forward. And I would encourage those individuals that are, you know, criticizing this piece of legislation to ultimately pay attention to what the bill really does and not the talking points of the, you know, individuals that are out there, you know, talking about this issue, because the reality is this is a good piece of legislation that makes great strides with regard to water policy moving forward.
This summer, the Treasure Coast experienced significant blue-green algae blooms, impacting local businesses and vacation plans. Rich Budell, what can be done to ensure these blooms do not become the norm?
I think one of the main things that we can do is continue to focus our efforts on the planning of an identification of projects that can be implemented north of Lake Okeechobee to help reduce the volume and speed with which water from this huge watershed north of Lake Okeechobee from Orlando all the way down to the lake. We need to control better how that water, surface water, flows into the lake. And there's a major planning effort that just got kicked off this past summer, looking at the Lake Okeechobee watershed region in combination with DEP and the Army Corps of Engineers and the South Florida Water Management District and local stakeholders are all aggressively looking at how we can identify and then fund projects to keep more water out of the lake. That's going to be a key component. The other big factor in that, in my belief, is that continuing to keep the Corps focused on rehabilitating the Herbert Hoover Dyke, complete all of that restoration activity so that the Corps can feel comfortable that that dike is much more secure than it is now, so that we can begin to talk aggressively about modifying the lake regulation schedule so we can hold more water in the lake. We'll never eliminate them all. Mother Nature will always throw us a storm that we didn't plan for, but looking north of the lake, and then looking within the lake itself, I think are the two key components that's trying to reduce these discharges over time.
So you both talked about the future. Where do you see Florida's water challenges over the next 30 years? Speaker Crisafulli and then Mr. Budell.
I see, you know, Florida continuing to grow, and to have a clean, abundant water source is certainly important, whether we're talking about agriculture, we're talking about future development, whether we're talking about the ability to house, you know, tourism, you know, so we have to be looking at this from a broad-based perspective. And certainly, you know, I can speak from an agricultural point of view from a family that's been in agriculture for eight generations in the state, you know, recognizing that, you know, the farmers have done a great deal in trying to find ways to reduce their use of water and making sure that, you know, they're good stewards of the land that they farm, and that includes the water that comes onto it and the water that comes off of it. So to answer your question, you know, look into the future. It's really about a clean, abundant water source and making sure that, you know, that we're doing our part, in this case in government, to make sure that, that we're working with the stakeholders to make that happen. And Rich can take some different views of things on that as well.
I think really a commitment to identify and fund alternative water supply projects, so that we can make sure that we do have enough water to meet future needs as we continue to grow, and as the ag industry continues to become an even larger part of the economic backbone of the state. So I say conservation, reuse, and a commitment to long-term funding for alternative water supply development are some of the key issues.
That's Rich Budell with the Florida Agribusiness Council and Steve Crisafulli, the Republican representing House District 51 in the Florida legislature, who is soon to be termed out as Speaker of the Florida House on November 8th. Incoming Speaker is Lando Lakes Republican Representative Richard Corcoran. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Joe Gruters with the Donald Trump campaign, Rich Budell with the Florida Agribusiness Council, and House Speaker Steve Crisafulli. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com. Take a moment to fill out our survey and be sure to join us again next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.